Good morning. I guess it is a good morning because we're all here, right? It's a good morning because it's a morning that God has blessed, right? So this morning I wanted to talk a little bit about the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. But before I do that, I wanted to just pray. Lord Jesus, just be with us today and help me as we share your word, Lord. Help us to understand you better, understand your kingdom better in Jesus' name. Amen. This week, I had to go renew my license. So I got my paperwork together and got my checkbook and went down to the DMV. And when I got there about 3 o'clock, I only had an hour because I had to pick Robin up at 4. And I walk in there, and there's 50-some people waiting there in the seats. And so I went up and did the kiosk thing and got my number, you know. And it was A41, in case you wanted to know. And, you know, they just called A37. So I was thinking, oh, well, this isn't too bad. How can this be, you know, that I'm going to be called so quickly? But, you know, they have an A, and they have a B, and they have a C, and a... You know, so they had numbers that were 0 to 1 to 100, you know, which were the A's, and then 100 and whatever was the B's, and 300s are the C's, and then they had 900s, which I don't know. So I'm thinking there, you know, like it would be wonderful if this was the kingdom of heaven where, you know, the first could be last, and the last, you know, could be first. You know, and maybe I could get in there in time and pick up Robin. And sure enough, you know, they, you know, called up the numbers and I waited, you know, and I got out of there within an hour with those 50-some people that are there. And so I was thinking that if for some reason they really did the last first, you know, I mean, I heard some grumbling and complaining that it was taking so long, which you always hear when you're there. But if they really did that, you could see people standing up and getting really mad and shouting and, you know, how unjust this is if I went before everyone else that's set for so long, you know, being there. So it made me realize that, well, I wanted to start with reading a scripture. It's in Colossians 1:13, and it says that, He delivered us from the power of darkness and converted us into the kingdom of His Son. His Son, the Son of His love. So what we see is that when we became what we would say a Christian or a believer, you know, we were actually transferred out of this kingdom of darkness into this kingdom of light. And so we went from one place into a new place. Amen. And this new place now has a bunch of different rules or a bunch of different principles that are different than the old. So I realized it was a little bit like, I want to tell you a little story. When I was growing up, I grew up in the lower Adirondacks and on a small farm, but there was lots of woods. And so my brother and I, you know, especially when we got to be old enough, we're constantly out every day, especially in the summer, all wandering through the woods that were mostly on our property and sometimes not. But we were all over everywhere. And after you wander around in the woods for so long, you know where you're going. You know where you are. And you know which way is north and which way is south and which way is east and west. And so I never felt like I was lost, even if I happened to get in a new little part and got turned around a little bit. I'd find my way out, and it was not a problem. So I developed, I think, a pretty good sense of, you know, north, south, east, and west. You know, I could figure out where I was whenever I was there, right? And I could find my way home. My mother was probably happy about that. But They did say I ran away one time and I was just went for a really long walk, but that's another story. But anyway, when I went to college, I went up to the up into Potsdam, which is above the Adirondacks, up towards the St. Lawrence Seaway. And when I was up there one day on a Sunday, I said, I want to go for a walk. So I just wandered off into the woods, and I'm wandering around in the woods, and it's a new woods, and it's a place I've never been before, and I'm wandering around, and I get in there, and I feel uncomfortable because, you know, it seems confusing to me. And I couldn't figure out for a while what was wrong. You know, why does this feel so peculiar to me? And it was new woods, but there was something else that was different that I couldn't figure out. And eventually, when I came upon a stream, and I'm seeing the way the stream is running, and I'm thinking, the stream is going backwards. And it was. It was traveling north. All my streams, where I lived, all traveled south. And they all traveled to the east, and this was going north. And so if you know anything about the Adirondacks, if you go up into the Adirondacks and go to Blue Mountain Lake, it's the watershed. From Blue Mountain Lake, it runs off into the one direction, off into Racket Lake, which runs into Racket River, that all runs north to the St. Lawrence Seaway. But everything south of that all runs down into the Hudson and goes south. And so what I realized is I was in a woods that was backwards to me. And I was confused. And I realized that's like what happens to us when we get saved. We end up in a new woods that feels like home on one hand. On the other hand, it's all backwards. Everything that we used to think was true is now the opposite. Isn't that true? And so we find ourselves stumbling around and getting confused. I remember being out in the woods one time in the Adirondacks, and it's a big place up there, and you can get turned around pretty easily and get lost. And this one time, a compass with me. And I opened up the compass and I put it down on the ground like you're supposed to. And I looked at which way it said north. And I said, no, that's wrong. That's not north. And I didn't believe it because I knew north, south, east, and west. It was in my own compass. And yet, because I got turned around, I got confused. And so now, the first principle here is humility. Am I going to think I'm right? Or is the compass going to be right? Well, you know, after I thought about it a little while, I decided to follow the compass. And I found my way out of the woods because I knew the direction I needed to go. So, you know, when we come to the Lord, one of the first principles that we run upon is having a heart of humility. I mean, in Matthew chapter 5, it starts off the Beatitudes, blessed are those poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Theirs is the kingdom of God. See, even to enter into the kingdom, you need humility. And without it, then once you're even in there, you need to humble yourselves every day. Because every principle that you think is right is usually wrong. And you have to begin to redefine what's right and what's wrong in the kingdom of God, in this new forest that we find ourselves in. And it's not easy. It's difficult because our own nature, my own sense of direction is still there. I have a strong sense that this is right and this is wrong, but many times I have to look at the compass or look at the scriptures and decide, am I going to humble myself? Will I receive what the Lord has for me? Or will I not? So we can wander around in, quote, the wilderness or in this new woods and get very frustrated with things. Humility is a hard thing to sometimes to relate to because, you know, in our nature we want to, you know, the world is always telling us that, you know, we need to be proud about ourselves. I mean, I was listening to a lot of ads about what I deserve. You know, it's always telling me what I deserve. You know, you deserve a break today. You know, it's always telling me, that I should get this product because I deserve it, right? And so there's this sense of pride that's all around us. Should I be prideful about something that I do? Should I be prideful about what I accomplish at my work? You know, how does that work? You know, I love this. There's a psalm. It's a psalm of David. It's 34 that helped me a little bit to understand humility a little bit. And I'm going to read a little bit of it to you so we can relate to it. It says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. Now, boasting is kind of a prideful, you know, a prideful situation. If you're boasting about something, you know, you're being prideful about it. But David's saying, you know, I'm being proud of what the Lord has accomplished, right? And so what we see is that there's a boasting or pride or accomplishment in what David sees the Lord is doing. And then it says the humble hear of it and be glad. See, if God blesses me with a better job, or if God blesses me with a new spanking new car, how do you feel about it? Are you glad with me? Or are you feeling like, I'm going to keep up with the Joneses, that attitude. You know, there's something to this that helps us see what our humility is before the Lord when someone else is being blessed, that we're really happy for them. Because if we're not being happy for them and rejoicing with them, then there's maybe something there that's in your heart that isn't what it should be. And it says, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt him together. See, there's a thing when that person is. And so what we see is we find ourselves in this new forest that we need to understand the principles and the situations that are all around us. And with that, I wanted to look at Matthew 20. If we could look at Matthew 20, it's a parable that Jesus is telling, and it's something that is a parable that's very well. Let's just look at it a little bit. says, the kingdom of God is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now, when he made an agreement with the laborers for a denarii a day, which is a typical standard wage for a day's work, he set them into the vineyard. And when he went out about the third hour, he saw those standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right I will give you. See, the second group now, he did not negotiate what he was going to pay them. He said, whatever's fair, I'll pay you. And they agreed that the landowner would be fair with them, because they went out and they began to work. So again, he went out in the sixth hour and the ninth hour, and he did likewise. And with that, I believe he just said, "What I'll pay you, whatever's fair." He didn't talk about a third of day's wage or a half a day's wage. He said, "I'll pay you what's fair." And the 11th hour, he went out and found some standing there, and he said to them, "Why are you standing idle all day?" And he said, "Well, because there was no one to hire us." So he said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, you will receive." So when evening come, the owner of the vineyard said to the steward, "Call the laborers and give them the wage, beginning with the last first." And when they came, and when those who were hired in the 11th hour came, they received a denarii, a whole day's wage for maybe an hour's work. I like that. But when the first came, they supposed they would receive more. And there likewise received each a denarii. And when they received it, they complained against the landowner. Isn't that something? They were negotiated for what they received, and they were given what was fair, what they had contracted to do, saying, "The last men worked only an hour, and you gave them equal to us, who bore the burden and the heat of the day." See? They really had something to complain about in the natural, didn't they? They suffered during the day doing all that work. They did, 90% of the work. These guys did maybe 10% of the work. But he says to them, "Friend, I'm not doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for one denarii? Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give to this last man the same as you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish to do with my own things? Or is it evil? Or is your eye evil because I'm doing good? So the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. For many are called, but few are chosen." See, in our world, that would be unfair. That'd be considered greatly unfair, and maybe the government would even step in and force the landowner to give something more to them, right? And the idea of fairness is, quote, all around us. And this idea of fairness is tearing away at justice. Because they're not the principles of the kingdom of God. They're the principles of men and what they think is fair. I like you. If I worked all day and came to that same situation, I might have felt the same way. And yet in the kingdom of God, those who come into the kingdom of God in the 11th hour, even though I was saved at a really young age and suffered a lot of things, they come in and receive everything the kingdom of God has to offer them, just like me. Even though they may have done many evil things, and yet the kingdom of God is there. And it's the kingdom of God that is of love, that it mentioned in that scripture, the love of the Son. See, Jesus again was somewhat relating to this parable that the first ones that did all the work and had the attitude could have been the Pharisees and their attitude, right? He's still trying to call them. Even the Pharisees called them into a different place that they would understand that even though they've spent their whole time reading the scriptures and trying to understand them and doing their best in walking through this new forest that they were all confused about, that Christ was here now calling the sinners in and coming in at the last hour and yet the kingdom of God was for both, equally. So God's equality is different than man's equality, different than our equality. And we need to understand that we need to rejoice and be happy and be humble to receive all that Christ, all that come in. And all they had to do is agree, even though they were standing around idle all day, agree to come into the labor field in the last hour, and they received all that the kingdom had to offer. Last week, Donnie talked a little bit about a parable later that comes up later in after this, and it's a bit harsher to the Pharisees, where this is a little milder in that he's saying, he's suggesting to them that maybe they have the wrong attitude in their heart or evil in their heart. In the one that Donnie brought up last week, he's pointing out very strongly that they are evil and they will not enter the kingdom of God. But in both cases, Jesus ends with this phrase that many are called, but few are chosen. And the point is that the call of God is out across the whole earth. And for us to respond, to be chosen, is just to respond, is just to enter in, is just to receive what Christ has for us. And then we are chosen, and then we begin to walk through this new forest where we're able to receive from Him all the things that He has for us and to retrain us It says by the renewing of our minds. That means by the retraining of our thoughts and principles that are that have been a natural thing in our lives that are all humans view as what's right and wrong and the way things are supposed to be done are just the opposite ways that God does things. If you go on to read after this, you can see another very strong point of just the opposite thing. And that's in see, we were just reading in 20. In 2020, starts with the son the sons of Zebedee's Thunder's mother asking about if their two sons could sit on the right or the left, and he starts to talk about what's what dealing with authority, and Jesus ends up talking about that the rulers of the Gentiles lorded over those and exercised great authority over them. So we see that the authority of this world deals with a hierarchy of the guy on top telling the guy on the bottom what to do, and like a military structure. And that's true in every frame. But Jesus then turns it around, the same thing. He turns it around that it's just the opposite. He says, if you want to be great in the kingdom of God, then you need to be the servant of all. So instead of if you're in have great authority in this world and everybody serves you, it's just the opposite. If you want to be great in the kingdom, then you serve everyone else. See, that is so confusing to the world. They cannot comprehend it. And because they don't even see it, they cannot even comprehend it. It's like you can tell them about it and they'll kind of get it, but they really don't get it. I mean, just look at how our political system works. It's supposed to be a government for the people and by the people, and yet we see that every congressman and every senator that goes in fairly poor ends up fairly wealthy by the time they leave. So we're in this place that we need to each day begin to open up the map. We need to open up the map, the road map, to where the kingdom of God is and where it's going and what it's all about. And then begin to, as we read it, begin to humble ourselves to receive it for what it says. But I don't know about you, I've had the map and I've still gotten lost. I mean, I've had the topographical maps of the Adirondacks, and I still got lost of where I wanted to go, and I never found it, right? Because the map is great, but if I had somebody along with me that knew where they were going, where we wanted to go, it was great because we had the map to rely on, and then I had my guide. You see, that's a picture of the Bible and of the Holy Spirit in our lives, right? And so we need both.
That's true. That's right.
Because we can wander around in this new vast forest of the kingdom of God, and it can not only be confusing to us, but we don't know where to go. We don't. Well, we may know where we want to be, but we don't know how to get there, right? Because every time I try to go this direction, I realize I should have been going that way. Or if I happen to go on the way I'm supposed to go, I wander off from the path very quickly. And so I need to be looking at the map. I need to be looking at the scriptures and understanding that and asking that, but then I need to also be asking my guide, what does this mean? You know, do I go around the mountain or do I go over the mountain? You know, what's best? You know, and there may be a reason to go over the mountain and not around. And even though in my thinking, going around the mountain might be the better way to go, but there could be a swamp around there that's going to take me out, right? Only the guide will know which way to send me. So there is so many what I would call kingdom principles that are there that really are things that are just the opposite of the way I would approach things. And now that I find myself in this amazing place of freedom, amazing place of acceptance and of love, I want to be heading in the right direction. I don't want to just be wandering around in the circle like the Israelites in when they came up out of Egypt, they just wandered around because of their own desires. And so, I hope this helped a little bit today to keep us centered on where we are and where we're going. And it's not a roadmap that the elders can tell you where to go, right? If it was for us to tell you, you know, where we're going, you need to go, or I need to go, or where the church is going, we'd be hurting. Because we don't know any more than you know in this area, except for maybe a little more wisdom, maybe with more time, right? But the point is that where we're going as a church or where we're going as individuals has to come from the Lord, has to come from the Holy Spirit, and it has to line up with the Word of God that brings us to a place of peace and brings us to a place where God wants us to be. And I know we're not there yet, and God is bringing us to new places every day, every year. And I know that we're in this new place, that maybe I've been in there for a lot of years, but it's still new to me because it's not a natural way of thinking. It's a spiritual way of walking. See, we don't walk by might nor by power, but by the Spirit, says the Lord. You see, that again in itself is so opposite. It's stating the opposites of way man thinks and the way things really happen, right? You know, with us, in the way that man thinks is that, you know, if I get my money in line, I get my idea in line, I get all my materials together, you know, I can go fight the war, I can build the building, I can do whatever. I got everything in order, I'm good, right? But God says it's not by those things, it's by my Spirit. Amen. So if we're going to go someplace as individuals and as a church body, it needs to be by the Spirit.
And what I have experienced and what I tried to communicate is that all my natural abilities and natural insight is always the opposite of the way God really wants to do things. But when I tap into what His Spirit, then I begin to see something different. And I start to see what God is really doing. Who would have thought? Place yourself back when Jesus came. Who would have thought that the Savior of the world would come on the donkey, place Himself up on a cross to die? But through that death of laying down everything that He had, life came forth. See, there's a principle in the kingdom of death comes before life. And we only see life. We fight against the death. And yet God brings joy out of ashes. Those things we cannot understand except for we understand them in the Spirit. So I don't know where we are or where we're going, but it says that He opens up a window that we see through dimly in the Spirit, and then we begin by faith to walk. I've been reading through Matthew, and usually all the way through He's telling the disciples or the people, oh, you have little faith. You see, because it was always a matter of faith of everything that was going on. It was a matter of faith. If Jesus healed, or if He didn't, He was able to cast out the demons that came, you know, the disciples couldn't do it, and Jesus says, oh, you a little faith, and He does it, right? And you know, I'm walking on the water, and you know, come on, and you know, oh, you a little faith, you know. You know, our natural ability is no faith. And yet, true faith of understanding of what God says and what God is doing and believing it when He speaks it to our heart and walking through that understanding of faith is something that is difficult. And yet necessary. So I love the one prayer that says, you know, help me with my unbelief. Yeah. Right? Because I like that, because I can pray that. I can say, Lord, I believe in You. I have faith in You, but help me with my unbelief. See, there is always a difficulty of a struggle, of a fight between my belief and my unbelief. And I'm struggling with that each day. And so I believe in God that He can do anything He wants to do, and yet my unbelief comes when I have my own problem, my own skin disease, and I'm praying for that. Well, are You really going to touch me? Help me with my unbelief. So the kingdom of God is an amazing place. And it is not a place that we're finally going to get to when we die and go be with Christ. We're in the kingdom of God now. We are experiencing all the principles of the kingdom now. And we need to understand where we are and that He transferred us or He converted us into this kingdom at the day that we confessed Him as our Lord and our Savior. And here we are. So we need to live a life by the things of God and not of the things of the flesh. So, thank you, Jesus. Well, Lord Jesus, we just ask that you would help us with this. Help me, Lord, with my unbelief. Help me, Lord, to help us, Lord, to overcome all the challenges of this world, O God. You told us, Lord, that our spirit is willing, but our flesh is weak. And I've experienced that, Lord. And so I just ask that you would help me with my unbelief, that you would help me with my weak flesh, that you would just help us, Lord, to overcome all that you have put before us. Lord, we thank you that you are a good God, that you just don't make everything perfect for us, and we walk through in our pride thinking that we're okay, but that you give us difficulties in life, Lord, that we have to continually come before you and seek your kingdom and seek your face, O God. So, Lord, we thank you for the difficulties that you have given to us in our lives, O God. And, Lord, that we could learn to be overcomers, that you have said that we become more than overcomers, that you have caused us to enter into your kingdom in a greater way, and yet you also heal us and you take care of us. And so, Lord, we realize that we are overcomers and more than overcomers, because both things are true when you give us difficulties, Lord. So, Lord, we thank you. And Lord, help us to rely on your compass, to rely on your guide, to rely on your map, O God, and begin to walk this walk that is a beautiful walk each day of excitement and joy to be in your kingdom. For you have told us that the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And we rejoice in those things, Lord, that we have peace, that we have your joy, and we have your righteousness, and we have your spirit. In Jesus' name, thank you. Amen. Amen.